right, welcome everyone. It's good to see all of you guys here this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. You can't hear me? You want me to get it closer to my face? Testing 1, 2. All right, welcome everyone. It's good to see all of you this morning. We're going to go ahead and start with just a couple of announcements. And first of all, we are doing Vacation Bible School in 2 weeks. So we're looking forward to having all the children here, which will be July 27th through 31st and 9 a.m. to noon. Those of you guys who are going to help, we're going to have a quick meeting after church in the fellowship hall just for 10 minutes. I have some T-shirts and some curriculum and stuff to hand out. And if you're interested in helping and you hadn't had an opportunity to do that, we are still taking helpers. So if you're interested in helping the VBS, come back there. And we already have some children signed up online. So if you want to sign your children up, just email me or call me, and we'll get them signed up. Also, there is a men's shooting event happening on the 18th. That's this Saturday. If you are interested in, we're going to just do some basic pistol shooting. We're going to have breakfast here at 7 a.m. Then at 8 a.m., we're going to go over some basic pistol things here at the church, and then we're going to go out to a range for a couple hours. It'll probably be till about noon or so. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, or you can just catch me or send me an email for that. Lastly, we're trying to update our directory. So if you are new to the church, you've been here probably in the last 6 or so months, we're going to have some pictures over here in the back hallway. Or if you have seen that your picture is maybe a couple years out of date and you want to update it, we're going to be doing some photography and some picture in the back hallway. Just stop by. We'll do it for the next couple weeks. So if you're like, today wasn't a good day for me, you know, with my hair, that's okay. There's always next week. Come back next week. We'll go that way. So Tammy, if you come up, Tammy has our missions announcement for the week.
Promised you last month, get this mic right here. We promised you last month that we were going to start featuring one of our mission endeavors each month. We have four that you faithfully support. And so this month, we did a bulletin board back here. We're focusing on James Project International. I just want to tell you a little bit about it, and we're going to have a video. We started out servicing, taking care of blessing these folks many years ago, and a team actually went to Guatemala to help build. That's right? Help build the facilities that are there now. They have a 15-acre piece of land, and they have a school, and their other buildings are there. They have an orphanage. And so it started out just as shadow under the shadow of his wings. It's now morphed into Shadow of His Wings Children's Home. They now also have Freedom Evangelical School, where they educate kids from preschool through junior high, and then they have arrangements where they can actually help kids get into high school, and they even have scholarships for kids to go to college, because they're endeavoring to get the kids educated so they can take care of themselves when they age out of the orphanage. So it's a wonderful project. They also added another one called Redeemed Women's Empowerment Program, which helps widowed women, and widowed meaning just that they have a family and they don't have kids, or they have kids, they don't have a husband to take care of them. Could be a natural widow or a social widow, they call it. And they help them educationally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially. So that's a big outreach. And their main focus, they say, the spiritual aspect is, of course, the key to everything. We recently learned, too, that they've also added another ministry that I don't know a lot about yet. I'll tell you that next time. It has to do with a home for unwed mothers. Apparently, they have a super high rate of unwed mother situations in Guatemala. So their heart is to reach out and help these folks. Let me see here. I've got one thing here. Okay, the James Project is based on James 1:27, which is about caring for the orphans and the widows, so that's their big focus. So Nick is going to play a video for us. If you have any questions afterwards, see me after the church. Also, I almost forgot to tell you, you can, like Compassion, I found out you can actually sponsor an individual child in the orphanage, which I didn't know before. And then you can also donate individually. Some people do that. We as a church donate a percentage of our tithe every month to them. But then you can also support them individually. So if you have any questions, give me a shout. Be glad to tell you about it. There's a bit of information on the bulletin board there. And Nick, take it away.
There are more than 15,000 registered children in Guatemala that do not have a proper home to live in. With scarce employment opportunities, women are only a third of the workforce. Most of these women fight to provide, having been widowed or abandoned. Half of the population survives off of $4.50 or less per day, making it difficult to even provide the essentials for life. Despite the many hardships, there is a beacon of hope in Monjas, Guatemala, for women and children needing refuge. The James Project of Latin America is bringing new life to orphans and widows. It is a place that foster children and orphans can call home, and women in great need can find support. The primary focus at the James Project is Shadow of His Wings Family Home. When children are rescued and delivered to the project from difficult situations, they learn what family should look like and what real love is. They are placed in loving homes with mothers and fathers. In this environment, these children rediscover their childhood and discover hope for the future. And education is a critical part of preparing our women and children for the future. On site at the James Project, the Evangelical Freedom School provides opportunities from preschool through high school. There are scholarship opportunities and support for those who want to study at a postgraduate level. Recently at the James Project, the Redeemed Women's Empowerment Program was developed. It was created to provide the seed money and business training for destitute women to open their own small business. These women are coached on how to manage finances, foster solid parenting skills, develop better business practices, and seek God through His Word and community. Stewarding the resources God has entrusted to the James Project through self-sustainable measures is deeply valued and taught to those who serve and those who are served. With available space on the property, volunteers grow as much of the food consumed on site as they can. Currently, the project offers large vegetable gardens, various fruit trees, an aquaponic system to raise fish and garden greens, goats for milk, and chickens for eggs. With each passing year, there's a shift towards using more renewable energy through solar power and biogas installations located on-site to reduce energy bills. Furthermore, filtered potable water has been abundantly available at the project for a tenth of the previous cost due to the water purification system. Through your prayers and financial support, the foster children, orphans, and women coming from difficult circumstances can receive the spiritual, physical, emotional, and educational means needed to overcome their pasts. Get involved today and help the James Project of Latin America, where we cast light into the darkness to help others move forward with the promise of a brighter future, all for the glory of God.
Excited today, aren't we? Wow. All right. I know, it's pretty moving, isn't it? About 10, 12 years ago, we actually went there in person, and there's rumors, because my secretary loves to talk about things. There's rumors that we might do it again. I don't know. We'll have to meet with the board and see what's happening. But cool things are happening, and even if we don't go there personally, it gives us a really good example of what your dollars and cents do. And so it's pretty amazing how far our funds go. So anyway, that's what you guys are part of. You know, it's one thing to give every week, and sometimes you kind of forget what it's doing. So it's really cool to have the reports. Thank you, Tammy, for taking that on and what we're going to be doing this monthly. So let's just stand and start worship.
Thank you. Forgiven because of the cross, because of your sacrifice, you have made a way. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who can compare to you, my King? Yeah.
compares to you, my Lord. No one compares to you, my friend. I looked and I found that you're the one I need it all along.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand.
You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand.
You stood before my failure and carried the cross of my shame.
My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. What can I say?
Today, all we are is yours. We do not keep a part of ourselves to ourselves, Lord, but we give you everything. We surrender all to you. Lord, what can we say to your sacrifice? What do we say to a God who sacrificed his own son so that we may be brought into life? All we can say, all we can do is surrender ourselves and thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I finally succumbed. I don't like being up here. But because we have to do lighting now and because we're doing it live, I had to move up. So the chairs are a little closer. They might get closer as the weeks go by. I don't know. We'll see. This feels too far away from you all, so we'll work at it. It is good to see you all this morning. It was kind of funny. I was joking around last week. It felt like there was only about 20 people here, and there was like 40. It's amazing how many people get lost in even a room this size. But it was good, so it's good to see a lot more people here this morning. And I was so thankful for the family that was here. I was kind of shocked. Some of our newer family members, you guys have been here long enough. I've always kind of, hey, let's move forward, and nobody does ever. And so I did that last week, and some of our newest family members, they went from like almost all the way to the front. I was like shocked that kept coming. I'm like, why are they going to sit all the way in the front? It's awesome. So I thank you so much for moving up. That was awesome. I appreciate that. You set a good example for some of the older timers that were here. That was good. So did you all enjoy your, it was 4th of July last weekend, right? Yeah. My weeks are running together, so I'm getting old too. Yes, I'm sure a lot of you are out vacationing and camping and all that, and that's great and wonderful, and I understand when we have such a beautiful state, and it was beautiful last weekend, so I get it. But some of us have to be here. So this message where we're going this morning, God's been messing me up with it this weekend, and it seems so simple. And we are in 1 John. We are in 1 John chapter 3. We finally made it to chapter 3, and I would like to say we are picking up. We're going to pick up pace, but not so much. We're going to look at one verse this morning, and we'll look at others. But I mean, just out of 1 John. So let's just read this first verse together. Just as I read it, just follow along. 1 John chapter 3. We'll read this in a minute. Oh, I get my cheaters out. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Whew, love that. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. There's a little chorus that's not this version. I think it's King James. Behold, what manner of love. Or no, that's a different one. There's a chorus that goes with this. And I can't remember if my mom wrote the music to it or not. I'll have to clarify that when I talk to her later. She was like, I didn't write that music. Anyway, she has written some scripture music, so I will have to ask her. But see what kind of love. And as I was thinking about and going over this last couple weeks and reading that, Father had me slow all the way down and say, just pick one word at a time and look at it. See. How observant are we in just our normal everyday life? How observant are we? How observant are you this morning? So I'm going to pick on a few of you this morning to prove a point. So I want you all to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. No cheating. Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm going to start with my own family first. Brian, keep your eyes closed. What color shirt is your wife wearing this morning? Oh, good guess. All right. What color are her eyes?
It's an amberish yellow and they're very metal.
Oh, there you go. Somebody's been looking into his wife's eyes. All right. Good, you passed. Doug, what color is your shirt your wife's wearing? Don't look. You're not sure. I know. I wouldn't pass either. Let's pick on some women here. Becky's saying no, so I'm going to pick on her. Becky, what is your husband wearing? I'm sure you know what he's wearing. Dark pants? What kind of shirt? Yeah, don't be helping her out. She. Wow. Black and white one. Yeah, I know he has lots of them. All right, you can open your eyes. It's a simple little thing, right? And we could go on and on about that. But being observant, I got off the platform again. But it's a simple little thing. Like Brian really had to think hard. He's like, oh, I'm gonna be in trouble. Right, so what amazed me is he had a more detailed description of his wife's eyes and what she was wearing. To me, that's more important. Because that means he stared into her eyes. Because a lot of people say, well, she has green or she has blue or she has brown. But do you understand people's eyes aren't just one color? If you look into them, there are myriad eyes are fascinating to me. You know, there's just so much detail to an eye. And if we take the time and we stare in each other's eyes, I won't make you do it, but we've had conferences where we've had to go and stare into the eyes of a total stranger for minutes on end. That's awkward, right? And when you're sitting across the table as a man from another dude, and you're like looking into his eyes, and you're like, I don't look into anybody's eyes but my wife like this, right? And then you're like, all right, now, like the one I had to go to, they're like, all right, now we're going to do this. The first time I was just staring, just sitting there. And they're like, it's fine, you get weird, you're going to laugh, and that's cool, and that's great. And the next level was like, all right, now I want you to listen from God and have a word for them at the end of 5 minutes. Well, no pressure there, right? But it's amazing the intensity, and then the weirdness goes away, and you start seeing this total stranger in a total different way. But how do we do that even with our spouses? When's the last time you took time, husbands and wives, to just sit and stare into each other's eyes? When was the last time that happened? No agenda, no whatever. Just sit and stare into each other's eyes and learn new details about who they are just by gazing into each other's eyes. See what kind of love the Father. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. See, do we pay attention? Again, we were talking about this is just in the physical world realm, but do we really see what kind of love the Father has bestowed or given to us? I'm doing different translations. Got to memorize this. Another. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. When's the last time he just sat? We talk about it a lot. I know if you've been here for any length of time, I talk about this all the time. But when's the last time we really sat in that sweet spot with God and really saw his love? He's really had me in this really amazing place this last week, just from this perspective of like, do I really see? And as we were just singing today, it was just, again, overwhelming, just the lyrics of some of the songs we were singing. Some of those songs for some of you were brand new. Some were really old because I was looking through them. The newest song we did was like a year ago. It's like, wow, how has it been so long since we sang some of these songs? But do we really pay attention? What kind of love? What kind of love is it that God is loving us with? If you've been with here since the beginning of the year, we've been going through 1 John. Every single word up to this point has been showcasing the love of God. It really has. So if we think about it, how do we define the love of God? And of course, we define it most of the time and a lot of time by how we want to be loved as an individual. We put God in that place and go, God, I need you to love me like I need to be loved. And he's really good about doing that because he actually loves us how he designed us to be loved. He's perfect at it. He does it just the way he needs to do it and just the way we need to hear it. And for me, I like to be, if you've ever read that Five Love Languages book, and I don't reference books very often, but it's a great little simple tool, and there's other tools. I know I'm wandering too much. Sorry, camera guy. But my thing is all about time spent in physical touch, just like being next to somebody, being in physical contact. That is like, man, I will eat that up all day long. You can give me gifts, and that's okay, and I like them every once in a while. poetry, words of affirmation. Not saying, okay, that's kind of cool to hear, but that doesn't really what. So when I when God loves on me, I feel it in my body. I physically feel the love of God. I physically feel his hands on my shoulder sometimes. I physically, when I'm really upset, I physically feel him, his arms around me and having me wrapped up tight. As an adult male, I feel like a two-year-old climbed up in my father's lap because that's where I'm at. Maybe for some of you, it's love for father is you need to be affirmed by words, and he gives you these words and these pictures and these things that are just overwhelming you. What kind of love is it? What kind of love is it? We need to be able to define it. And this love is so amazing. And the whole totality of the scriptures all showcasing that in different ways. And I'm going to look at a couple of the verses really quickly this morning. Romans chapter 8. Sorry, Nick, I didn't give you the scriptures this morning, but I know you're good. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of the Father, who is indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or darkness or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's the definition. You want to know how much you're loved? There it is. You have those moments when you go, well, I really messed it up, and Father can't possibly still love me. Really? As I read that verse, it says, well, see, nothing in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing means nothing, period, end of story. That's not enough. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 through 19. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So nothing can separate us from the love of God, because that's how he's written it. Now he's saying that we can have this place where we can know the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And there's a peace, because our head gets in the way. Our feelings get in the way. And we need to come back to the reality of the truth that this is what the love of God. This is the kind of love. And these are two little passages in the scripture. There's lots more. This is the kind of love with which we are loved. This is how the kind of love the Father has given to us. Just to tell us, like, look, when you come into relationship with me, this is the kind of access you are given instantaneously. And need you to hear that. It's instantaneous, the kind of access we have. Because a lot of when we come to Christ, we're all messed up, right? Right? Yeah. Wow. Well, for those of you that are just learning this fact, we're all messed up when we come to Christ. And then we have that instantaneous access. We have all of who God is. We have all of his love. We have him trying to always show us, like, look, this is how much I love you. I love you enough to send my son. Jesus loved us enough to go, I'm going to do that. He loves us enough to let his creation kill him. I don't know if I love anybody that much. But he does and did. He's given us this love. And again, that's why Father said has me breaking these verses down. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. It's already happened. It's not coming someday when we get it right. Right? It's already happening in this place, this reality. This is the kind of love that he has given. It's already happened that we should be called. We have the ability to have this relationship with Father. And I love that. That's the thing that's kind of been more coming to light as I read Scripture. The emphatic statements and the things that God tells us to do and the relationship he wants to have with us. I haven't seen the reality of that in the sense that when Father tells me I can do something, I have the ability to do it here and now. It's not when I get home. It's not when I have my glorified body. It's not any of that. It's here and now when I have this busted, broken down old body, when it hurts some nights and the days and I just don't feel like doing the things I should do. And Father's like, look, you have everything you need to do. You have everything you need to do. You have this love that I've been given to you. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are a joint heir with Christ. And I love that statement as I was reading through that. We call them children of God, and so we are. So we are. It doesn't matter if you feel like it. My children are my children, whether they feel like it or not. And I've talked about this before, but it's just a beautiful example. My children can never, ever change the fact that they are my children. They can't, biologically. There's nothing they can do. I don't care all the modern technology they have to change all the stuff people want to change. It doesn't matter. They're still going to be my kid. Can't change it. They have my DNA in their body, whether they like it or not. Right? They can't change that. They are my child. So when I come in this relationship with Father, and I've come in this place where, like, you know what? I'm going to give up my dead life, and I'm going to take your life, and I'm going to become your child because I believe your word says I can be, and you've already emphatically told me that I am. When I come into that relationship, I'm going to stay in that place regardless of what I do from day to day, regardless when I mess things up, regardless when I step in, and regardless when I hurt people's feelings, regardless whatever it is I do in my life. I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm a child of the living God. And there's nothing that's going to separate me from my Father. And I can get mad and I can yell and scream and have a temper tantrum from time to time with Father because things aren't going the way that I want them to. It doesn't change him and it doesn't change me. It just shows, like, man, you got a good relationship with your dad. And I was saying, we as children of God, we are as believers, joint heirs with Christ, we need to understand, and again, you've heard me say over and over and over, and I will continue to say over and over and over, we need to understand our identity in Christ. And I don't know why it seems like everything keeps coming back to that. So if it keeps coming back to that, Father, he keeps wanting me to talk about it, because we need to hear it, I guess, right? I'm just simple enough. If he keeps coming up, I guess it's something I need to learn for sure, right? Because when we are walking this place of identity, when we're walking this place and we know what kind of love the Father has given us, when we understand that we are children of God, when we understand that we are, no matter what, a child of God, that changes how we interact with the world around us. And he says here, the world's not going to know us. The reason why it doesn't know the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. It's pretty cool to be in the same place with Jesus. Talks about suffering with him. Not here, but in other places. We are heirs with Christ. That kind of love messes you up. That kind of reality should mess us up. We saw a little bit on that video of Guatemala when they're stepping into these children's lives and then letting them be a kid again. I don't know if you caught that. That hit me. The little girl playing around in that water. Some of us have been damaged on that kind of level. We need to go back and be a kid again. Because you're a kid. No matter how old you are, you're still a child living God, and so often we don't want to, well, I gotta be an adult, you know. I'm 50 years old. I can't act like a 3-year-old. Really? Why not? If you have grandkids or little kids, get over yourself. All right? Play with them. Get crazy with them. I'm talking to myself. I need to do more of that, right? But we're too dignified, you know, because they're adults. Why? There's a time and place for that, for sure. But I'm just saying, we get so to this point, I think that's what happens, at least for me. I get so in that place that I'm an adult, and I don't think like a child, and I understand those things. We, you know, Paul tells us to put those things off, and I get that. But I think too often we put off the things that we should keep. I think we should keep that childlike wonder, right? I think we should keep that childlike imagination, that childlike dreaming about what God could possibly do with our lives. But we let the things of life beat us down. We let the things of life that we've experienced, that we've gone through, dictate to us. Well, I know it says, you know, you have the kind of God, Father, that loves you like that, but oh, you have all this stuff that's happened to you, or you have this really hard thing you're going through, or your relationships are falling apart, so that must not be for you. Garbage. I have a stronger word for that, but garbage, right? That's garbage. That's what the enemy wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that we don't have this kind of Father who loves us. He doesn't want us to believe that we are joint heirs with Christ. He doesn't want to believe we have a hope and a future. One more scripture talking about this. Romans chapter 8, starting verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So there's that verse I was thinking about earlier. We aren't, oh, I love that. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You need to hear that, some of you need to hear that. You're not a slave. In the society we've been living in the last 4 or 5 months, you want to talk about, that's all that's been driving this whole crazy train, is a spirit of fear. Right? Regardless of the reality of the situation, I think, you know, it's been posted, lots of people posted on Facebook, if we just killed media for 30 days, what would happen? Lots of cool things, right? I mean, it would take a miracle, because I don't think, you know, if it's even possible. But that's me shutting down Facebook and Twitter, and all of it. You know, we didn't have like an EMP thing just thrown, whatever that is, that kills all the electricity. But just for media, not everywhere, because I like power, right? But just, you know, just somehow knock out all the media and Facebook and all that junk for just 30 days, see what would happen. But, you know, with the reality, we don't need that to happen. We need the children of God to stand up. We need the children of God to stop living in the spirit of fear and the spirit of slavery. That's what needs to happen. We need the church of God to stand up and go, man, I know what kind of love I'm loved with. I know I am a child of God. I know I am joint heirs with Christ. I know I have the ability and the right to come into the throne of God boldly and call him daddy, because that's what Abba means. not father. And I'm not mocking that. I'm not saying in this stiff relationship, that's not the kind of relationship father wants to have with you. And I understand, I have worked with too many people that the word father is almost a swear word because of what they have received at the hands of their earthly father. I understand. I don't understand that personally, but I understand why people get there. That's one of the most insidious tools of the devil, because he's taken everything beautiful and perfect and good and twisted it just enough. And I'm just talking about people inside the body. I'm talking about the bride of Christ who have a distorted understanding of who their father is because of who their earthly father was. They don't believe that they have a father who can love them like this. They don't believe that they have value. They don't believe they had an identity. They don't believe they have a purpose, even though they've been to church maybe most of their life. But because of one person in their life, and fathers, you have a huge responsibility and impact in the lives of your children, and I will always lovingly come down hard on you guys. Because we set the tone in part on how our children interact with their Heavenly Father. And you can say, well, it's not fair. Too bad, so sad, get over it. That's our calling, that's our role. Sorry. Because I don't like it some days too. And I know the damage that I have caused in my own children, and yes, we have mended things. But I want to continue to, in everything that I do, continue to showcase who Father God is through my life, to my children and all of you and whoever else Father allows me to connect with and minister to in my lifetime. He wants us to have this relationship where we call him Daddy, because that's a really personal, intimate. And I know for us guys, I don't be intimate with another guy. Get over yourself. Intimacy with Father is a whole different thing. See, again, the world has twisted you in that. The enemy has twisted that to mean something that it was never intended to mean. And we get all weird and like, ugh, you know what? We need to understand this kind of love. And that's, we looked at a couple weeks ago, the one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of that. As it says here, who are led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. Just that reminder every single day. That reminder every single moment when we have those doubts. The Spirit is there going, you know what? This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. Hey, remember, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf right now. That's just a barely scratches the surface of these few words out of 1 John chapter 3. So my challenge to you this week, not just this week, again, when I always say this week or today or whatever I'm talking about, put it into your lifestyle. Really see what kind of love the Father has given to you personally, not your wife, not your kids. Get selfish for a moment. See what kind of love the Father has given to you as his son, as his daughter. Maybe it's been a long time since you got that intimate, since you got that like focused on like, I'm going to sit in this place and see for myself what kind of love the Father has given to me. That I have the right to be called his son, his daughter. Because he emphatically says, I am. And as you see what kind of love the Father gives to you, when we get that focused, it will change how you see and love your family around you. When you're intimately gazing into the Word and the Scripture and you're intimately understanding who Father is with you, and then you turn that on to your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, it might weird them out for a moment, but if you let them understand what's going on, right? Because we have turned into a society, even that simple thing of gazing into each other's eyes, it's a weird thing. It wasn't that long ago that you were being very rude to someone if you weren't looking at their eyes when they were speaking to you. Now it's like you're lucky if they happen to glance through your eyes in a conversation every 10, 20 minutes, right? And I understand it's habit, but I'm just saying, again, it seems like such a simple thing, but there's so much connection when we look in each other's eyes. See what kind of love the Father has given to you. My prayer is that you really see. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I thank you that I'm always grateful for your word, but I really thank you for this last week, just personally. In the moments that we have had, you and I. In the moments when I am with you, seeing the kind of relationship you want to have with me, it opens up my eyes to see other people. People that maybe I'm having some issues with. People that I'm not seeing right. When I see what kind of love you love me with, it gives me the ability to see those people and love them with the kind of love that you ask me to love them with. You continue to deepen my love to my wife and my children. A challenge to always love my wife like Jesus, like you love the church. And you gave her yourself for her. If I'm not loving my wife like that, then I'm failing. I want to love her like that. I want to see her like you see her. I want to see other people like you want me to see them, as you see them. I want to love them as you love them. Father God, this morning, there may be someone in this room right now, this morning. But this message sounded good, maybe. But there wasn't a lot of understanding. Because they don't have a relationship with you. But Father, I pray that they heard that you love them. That you want them to be your daughter, your son, right now, today. You don't want them to live one more moment of death. You don't want to live them to live one more moment where in this dead life, you want them to come alive. You want them to be alive. You want them to have life. You want them to have that right and that privilege to walk into your throne room boldly and call you daddy. That's what you want this morning. So, Father, this morning, if there's one in that place, man, may you love them enough. They don't have to come talk to me. If they know someone else here, they're more comfortable. Father, let them talk to them. I don't have to be part of that moment. But, Father, I pray that you have that moment with that individual, that you would radically mess them up. That you would radically change their life in this moment. Because I know what you do for me every single day. My life is never the same, will never be the same. Since I have you loving me like you do. I'm so beyond grateful this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship if you will. Let's just come forward for prayer for anything. This front row is always open. I'm here to pray if you want. Otherwise, let's just worship this morning. Blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne. That is the truth of yours and my situation today. We're not orphans. We're not slaves to fears. We are daughters and sons of the Most High God who is still in charge, who still reigns upon the throne. Rest in that truth, not anything else you read this week. All right. You are dismissed.